This is the weekly message from Restoration Church in Odessa, Texas. If you would like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.restoreodessa.com. There you can also give financially to support the ministry. Now, here's this week's message.
All right, well, this morning we are starting a brand new sermon series. And you may have heard me talk about it just a little bit, but we are starting this new three-week series called Travel Guide. And as you know, this is the time of year where most people like to go on vacations and get out of town and get out of the heat, and praise God for that. Amen? But don't you know that we are on a journey as well in this life? So we're going to be looking at a travel guide the next 3 weeks. And talking about some things. This week we're going to be talking about destinations. Next week we're going to be looking at roadblocks, some of those roadblocks that we may face in life. And we're going to use the story of Joseph to accomplish that. Then on the third week, we're going to learn how to travel light. Because, you know, sometimes if you're like me, you are a chronic overpacker. I could be going out of town for 2 days, and I have enough clothes for 2 weeks. You could ask my wife. I'm not lying. Because I can never decide what I want to wear. I'm a chronic overpacker. So we're going to learn how to travel light on week three. So according to statistics, anywhere from 60% to 80% of Americans will take some sort of vacation this summer. Whether that be just a simple road trip or an all-out resort vacation. And I'm not sure why summer is the most popular time of year, but it's probably because, you know, everyone's out of school and things like that. And because, like here in Texas, we're baking in the sun and people just want to get away. A while back, I posted a question on my Facebook asking, what are some of your favorite summer vacations? And here were some of the responses. Ruidoso or Dallas. The mountains. California. By far, somewhere in the mountains was one of the top results. Camping in the mountains or a water park somewhere. That's a pretty good one. By the pool, it doesn't matter where. On a cruise ship. Florida, Hawaii, Branson. Now, if you were to ask Jeanette and myself where we would like to go, what our favorite places are for summer vacation, I can guarantee you can get one of two answers. You would either get Red River or simply the mountains. Because while Satan is baking us here in Texas with the wonderful summer heat, we love to go where it rains every afternoon and the temperatures are cool. We're even crazy enough, if we've had enough of the heat, that we'll jump in the car after Jeanette gets off work on Friday and drive. And we'll go to the mountains. Now, when we lived in Amarillo, we would go to Red River because it was only about 4 hours away. And so as soon as she got off work, we'd go and be able to be there on Friday evening, have a late dinner, and then we can come home on Saturday late and be back in time for church. Now I guess we'd have to go to Ruidoso because Red River's about 8 hours away now. But either way, we would enjoy that evening and part of the Saturday and then drive home. It may not seem worth it to some, but it is to us. We have a good friend whose name is Ken Hess, who for the last couple of years has enjoyed the mountains, not just for a short period of time, but all summer long. He leaves at the beginning of June and sometimes doesn't come back until September. He's living his best life, man. He's retired and he's loving it. He's living the dream. Now, if and when the Lord ever decides to let Jeanette and I retire, which is still a long ways off, we would love to spend our summers in the mountains. But regardless of your favorite destination, there's at least some planning that's involved. For our household, that usually means sitting down together and deciding where we are going and what everyone wants to do. Now, complete openness here. I used to drive Jeanette crazy when we first got married. Because if you know my wife well, you know that she is a planner. Like, planner to the max. So much so that when we got married, vacation was planned down to just about every minute. Maybe not quite that bad. I'm exaggerating a little for sermon purposes. But she doesn't like to sit still, so I would drive her absolutely crazy. Because I would like you know, I'd be like, okay, let's do Six Flags, Schlitterbahn, let's go on a Jeep tour, do something like that. And that would be the extent of my planning. Back then, I would need a vacation from my vacation because we were always doing something. Now, I love to plan, but for vacation, I love to plan one thing, nothing. When I think of vacation, I like to do something fun, but I also like a lot of relaxation. And I know there are others out there that are more like my wife. You're planned out to the max, getting the most of your money and your time. And I do realize that there are some occasions where you need to do that. About a year ago, for the first time ever, we enlisted the help of a travel agent. Mainly because we didn't even know where to begin for a vacation that we have coming up. We knew that Rebecca was graduating, and with her graduating, we told her we would take a trip anywhere she wanted to go. Wherever she wanted to go. She could have chosen anything, literally, within reason. And she chooses, of all things, Disney. She wants to go and stay at the Disney World Resort and go to all the parks. Now, I mean, this will be fun. We've only been to Disney World one time, and it was just Magic Kingdom. So it'll be kind of cool to go to all the different parks, but we had no clue where to start. The beautiful thing of this is we already have to go to Orlando for General Council, which is the Assemblies of God National Conference that happens every 2 years. And this year it happens to be in Orlando. So we were already going. So it was like, all right, we only have to pay for a flight once. Come on, somebody. That made my wallet happy. But for Disney, we didn't have a clue. So to start the process, we reached out to a travel agent whose husband is an ordained Assemblies of God minister. And we figured we could trust her to get us all in all the right places with all the right prices. And she was fantastic. She saved us money and was able to get us some add-ons for a little extra fun. And we're excited to celebrate our daughter and her achievements. But had we chosen the wrong travel agent, things could have been different. Our final destination could have been less than pleasant. I mentioned it a moment ago, but did you know we are all essentially on a vacation? A little side trip, if you will. And if you didn't know, there are numerous scriptures throughout the Bible that talk about this world not being our home. And in 1 Chronicles, we see David praying, and he makes this statement. He says, "For we are strangers before you and sojourners." Meaning that this is a temporary stay, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. This world is not our final destination. At some point, we will all go to an eternal destination. And depending on what travel agent you use, you'll end up in one of two places. I know this isn't popular teaching anymore, but you end up one of two places. You either end up in heaven or you end up in hell. Some would much rather believe that everyone goes to heaven or we just cease to exist. That there's nothing beyond this life. But that is not the case. You will end up one of these two places. Hell is a place of eternal torment and punishment. Heaven, a place of eternal reward. Now, I don't know many people of which believe that both of these places are real that want to end up spending eternity in hell. Reality is, it all depends on the travel agent you decide to trust. In John chapter 10, we are given a little insight into the travel industry. We see two agents at work. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says this: "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." Then it goes on to say, "I," which is Jesus, "came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Now, I know you're smart people and can probably figure out who the two agents are from this passage of scripture. But let's break it down one more time just to make sure We're on the same page. You have the thief and you have the eye, which is Jesus. Who's the one speaking in this passage? The thief is, of course, Satan, Beelzebub, whatever you want to call him. And for a few moments this morning, we're going to be the Better Business Bureau and review these two agents. We're going to leave a Google review, okay? Because just like Jeanette and I did for Disney, we will hardly buy something or use someone's service without doing research and reading reviews. So first of all, let's look at the thief. You may know him as the devil, Beelzebub, the tempter, the evil one, the enemy, the father of lies, the adversary, the deceiver, the accuser. And he has quite a network built up to get you to his, what he would like to call the perfect destination. As the ruler of this world, talking about the present age, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, it says, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. That's a pretty strong statement. He knows exactly who or what to influence to get you on the path of his choosing. He's got the GPS calibrated for a one-way trip. And he's pretty crafty at it. One of the many ways he has to influence you is the influence that he has upon culture. Take a look around. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see the moral decay that is around us. Did you ever think that you would see a biological male win a beauty pageant? That was never on my watch list. And if I'm going to be candid this morning, there is no man good looking enough to win a contest that is designed for women. And yet there was one who won Miss Netherlands in 2023. And then would later on compete for the Miss Universe contest. In a social media post about the event, he said, wherever you are in the world, I want to be there for you and be the example that I missed as a little me. It's this craftiness that the thief likes to use. Our culture today celebrates when people climb to the top of the ladder, even when they lie, steal, and cheat to get there. We live in a culture today that applauds wrongdoing, but condemns right behavior. We live in a culture that believes it's okay to step out on your spouse and then laughs when you get caught at a Coldplay concert. I had to throw it in there, y'all. To me, that was sad. It was sad. In that moment, people's whole worlds fell apart. Our culture celebrates with party favors provided by the thief. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, it tells us this, that now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and these like things, or in things like these. According to the flesh, the worldly view, these things are fun and exciting and the mark of a good life. And the thief is like Oprah and handing them out to everyone that will enlist his services. You get this, and you get this, and you get this. This travel agent is good at his job. He can get you to his destination in some other crafty ways. Did you know that religion is one of the many tools that he uses? In our passage of scripture from the book of John, if you go back to chapter 7, you'll find that this was taking place during the Feast of Tabernacles, a religious tradition for people of Israel to celebrate the time that they spent wandering in the wilderness and living in tents. The religious leaders, the Pharisees, the chief priests were all in attendance. And Jesus showed up to the party and they were oblivious that he was the Messiah. All they were concerned about was the fact that he was disrupting their status quo. He wasn't following their traditions. That's not the way we do things. That's not the translation we read from. That's not the songs we sing. We don't pray that way. The thief can get you so locked into religion that you forget the real purpose. You start to go through the motions, the rituals. It just becomes part of what you do on a certain day. And he'll let you learn all you want. He's not afraid of your intellect. He can just divert you to a life of religious tradition, of going through the motions. Yet there are still more avenues of his perfect destination. He'll put people in your path to disrupt and discourage. They'll gossip with you and about you. They'll pull you to all the right parties and all the right places. Bitterness likes to get thrown in to the mix also. Someone said the wrong thing at the wrong time and you hold on to it to your grave. It will eat at you, constantly reminding you of the wrong done against you. It will cause your blood pressure to rise and for you to get angry when you think about that someone or something. We have a friend of ours that had something happen, man, it was probably 30, 40 years ago now. But anytime he talks about it, you can see his blood pressure starting to rise. And you can see him starting to get upset. This is something that he's carried for probably 40 years, 30 years. I can't imagine. But that's an avenue that the thief likes to use. And it's close friends with unforgiveness. There's no way you're going to forgive them after they did that. They will have to come to me first. I'm going to go this way to avoid to even having to see them. I'm walking through Walmart, and there they are, and I just turn the other direction. Never again will they have the opportunity to hurt me. He will even use your own faults to his advantage. Guilt and shame are common steering mechanisms for the thief. If he can get you to focus on these, he can get you down the path to his preferred destination. If he can make you think that you aren't good enough, that you aren't worthy, that no one could love you, that you'll never accomplish anything, so you might as well enjoy the things of this world. This agent will use all of these things and more to get you to one place and one place only. That destination is full of fire and not the good kind. The Bible tells us that it is a place of darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a place of punishment, a punishment and torment that will never end. Revelation chapter 21 verse 8 says, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 says, "In flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction." Mark chapter 9, verse 48 describes it like this. It's a place where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Matthew 13, 42. And it says, "And throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And this is the only destination that the thief wants you to end up. My, my, my. What a place. Google review, 0 stars. Do not like. But see, our second guide is another you may have heard of. He's the one who in John 10:10 said that I have come. His name is Jesus. Emmanuel. God with us. And his reviews are off the charts. He's been around since before time began. And he knows his way around this vacation we call life. He himself has been on this trip, having willingly left heaven to come down to earth. He knows all of the best outings and excursions. In fact, the scriptures leave review after review of his work. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11, it tells us, "And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters do not fail." And I love the way the Message paraphrase puts it. It says, "I will always show you where to go. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest of places. Firm muscles, strong bones. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry." Come on, somebody. In Luke chapter 1, in Zechariah's prophecy towards his son, John the Baptist, he includes this little nod toward the one who was to come after John. Luke 1, 79 says, "To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Psalms chapter 32, verse 8, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." You see, his word is the ultimate travel accessory. Psalm 119, 105, "For his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path." Psalm 25, 9 and 10, it says, "He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies." You see, Jesus knows his way around the block. He has a destination in mind that is out of this world. Just as the thief has his party favors to offer, this guy does as well. Again, we take ourselves back to the book of Galatians in chapter 5. And verses 22 and 23 tell us, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." This is everything you need to fulfill your trip here on this earth. When life starts getting rough, you know that your travel agent, Jesus, is bringing peace into the picture. When you don't see the big picture and you are starting to get anxious, patience comes into the mix. When someone, don't ever pray for patience, a little side note, encouraging. I did that once, it was not a good day. Anyway, little extra bonus for you. But when someone has wronged you, said something about you, made fun of you, talked bad about you, gentleness and self-control come on the scene. When to everyone else it seems as though life around you is falling apart, Jesus comes along and brings you joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Come on, somebody. This is the kind of travel agent I want. Hallelujah. And he has the ultimate travel destination in mind for you and for me. It's a place like no other. Isaiah 25 talks about it being a place where death is swallowed up. John chapter 14, verses 2 through 4, this is Jesus speaking, and it says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Revelations chapter 7, verses 16 and 17 describes it like this. It says, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes." Praise the Lord. This is the destination that is waiting for everyone in this room. Other passages in Revelation describe streets of gold and a crystal sea. We sang about it this morning. And I've been to some pretty neat destinations, but none of them compare to heaven. None of them compare to the eternal destination offered each of us through our travel agent, Jesus. So we have our choice. John chapter 10 again says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." That's all he wants from you. He wants only what he can take. His way leads to death. And the only thing you get in return is an eternity in torment and darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth in a real place called hell. But Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Come on, Jesus comes to give you life today. He not only comes to give you life, but Scripture clearly says he wants you to have life abundantly. Just like we talked in our message on giving, and that doesn't mean you're going to be rich and famous and have lots of things. That's not what that means. It's the abundance of the Lord is what this is talking about. An abundant life lived in him. An abundance of joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. That's the abundance the Lord is talking about here. And when it says that, it doesn't mean that we will have a perfect go in this temporary home. And we'll talk a little more about that next week. But there is an abundance that is found in Jesus. Many will try to tell you that there are multiple ways to get to heaven that I just described. But Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 tells us this. It says, "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gates is wide for many who choose that way." And listen, it's more than just being a good person. Romans 3, chapter 3, verse 10 tells us that none is righteous. Not one. Romans 3, 23 tells us that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6, 23, "For the wages of sin, going about it the thief's way, is death." But that narrow gate is Jesus. John 10, 9, it says, "I am at the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." The second part of Romans 6:23 says, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, while you and I, every one of us in this room, while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. So what must I do? Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 11 tells us this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord might be saved? That's not what it says. We'll have to pray about it and see if they're saved, right? No. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as we bring this to a close this morning, you can't preach a message like this and not give an invitation. You see, we've walked through the Google reviews of two different travel agents and destinations. We find the thief that all he wants to do is take from you. And all he wants is for you to end up in one place. His place. And that's hell. An eternity of torment. But then we looked at Jesus, who comes and says that I have come that they may have life and life abundantly. You know, this isn't just some God that is made up, but Jesus himself came and walked this journey just like each of us. And he showed us the way. And he showed us the way to joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. But then scripture tells us that he went to prepare us a place where there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more shame, no more guilt. An eternal destination with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know how you've been going about this journey. But I want to ask you this morning, if you are away from God, will you choose life today? Will you choose life today? You take just a moment and take an inventory of your life. Where have you been? Which agent have you been using? Who have you been following? Now, my question is this. with lifted hand, would you acknowledge that I need to make my way to life, that I want to give my life to Jesus this morning, that that's the agent I want, that's the agent that I choose? If that's you, and you want to say yes to Jesus this morning, would you just lift your hand and say, that's me. That's me.